we are reading from Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven, and only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? And then I'll tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people who do wrong. The words of God for the people of God.
Will you join me in prayer? Oh, loving God, today we encounter another radical saying of Jesus. And these sayings, Lord, we know that they are true, but they are tough. Lord, open up these hearts of ours that we can be a witness to the wisdom of the teachings. And let those sayings of Jesus not just sit in our hearts, but grow. We thank you for this time, Lord, and meditating on your word. It's in great love, again, to you, Holy One, that we say, Amen. Back in my younger days, much, much younger days, I found myself going to a venue in downtown Springfield because a buddy of mine were going to go see a local band that was quite popular at the time. And my friend was really excited about this band. You see, he was quite the fan. And the reason why he was a fan, he liked the music okay, but it's really because he went to school with the band members. And he was looking forward. He had been out of town for a while. He was looking forward to touching base with them, to relive some old times from high school, and really just to talk to him. So anyway, we were there at the venue for a little while. The band came on, and they were great. Kind of had a punk, new agey thing going on, or not new agey, new wavy thing. That's it, going on. And I was kind of thankful there wasn't a mosh pit that formed. Just to let you know, mosh pits were around a lot more before, a lot earlier than the 1990s, okay? But the band was great, and they were awesome. And my friend was just really getting into the music. My friend was yelling up, you rock, you rock! And getting really excited. And as the evening wore on, probably emboldened by the intake of adult beverages, my friend and I started getting closer and closer to the stage, and he just seemed to get louder and louder and louder. And, you know, I was in the middle, I thought, of a conversation with him, and as I was talking to him, I turned around here to talk to somebody else, and when I turned around, he was gone. And it's like, where did he go? And then I looked, and uh-oh, he had gotten right up to the front of the stage. And he started yelling out to the band members by name, hey, that sounds so great, oh, you're so awesome, blah, blah. And I could tell that the band members were not taken with his adoration. They looked at my friend like, who is this person? I scrambled up to the front, and I kind of took my friend by the arm, but not before the lead singer put his hand over the mic and bent over to my friend and says, take it easy, dude. We don't even know you. That was a rough rest of the night, I can tell you. I felt bad for my friend. He was crestfallen. But the next day, after headaches were over, things got better in life. Friends, today's teaching of Jesus is one of the most radical ones we have. We've been wrestling with radical teachings of Jesus, haven't we, these past several weeks? But what do we make of this teaching where people will say, Lord, Lord, but they may not make it into the kingdom of heaven. What do we make of this teaching when people come to Jesus and say, Jesus, look at all the good that I've done in this world. Look at all the miracles. I drove out demons. I prophesied in your name. Only for Jesus, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. Get away from me, you who do bad. Actually, the literal translation is you who are lawless. That is one tough teaching. So we're going to wrestle. Are you ready to wrestle today? There you are. Yeah. So to help us out a little bit, I want to share a review and insight that we covered last week. And it was a question that I placed on your hearts. And that is, when it comes to your relationship with Jesus, are you a fan or are you a follower? And if you're a fan of Jesus, and many of us are fans of Jesus, and that's how we started in our relationship with Jesus, then we love Jesus. We love Jesus' teachings. We read in the Bible. We love reading about the miracles that Jesus does. We love so many things about what Jesus does in this world. But when things get tough in life, that love for Jesus starts to cool down a little bit. Are you hear what I'm saying? We love the Chiefs right now. Yes. 2-time Super Bowl winners, 3 times going within the last, 4 years, 5 years, whatever. But yea, verily, I remember a time when it was not so. And there weren't very many people that I could count on that were fans of the Chief, even if they would go to every game. To be a fan means that your relationship with Jesus is not necessarily solid. And you struggle. To be a follower of Jesus means to be more committed in your relationship, which means when the hard times come or when you have to stand up for something that Jesus is calling you to do, you're able to do that. In fact, you're more open to what God may want you to do in the world. You're more open to discerning God's will. And that's really important to understanding this teaching today. So, context is everything. Say that with me. Context is everything. We can't just read a bit of scripture and just say, okay, this little bit of scripture, this is it. It belongs to something else. It's part of something bigger. And the teaching today that Shirley shared with us is a part of that wonderful Sermon on the Mount that Matthew talks about in chapters 5 through 7. We're at the very end of that teaching. And the Sermon on the Mount is all about what it means to live, to experience this wonderful reign of God, of wholeness and life and love that Matthew calls the kingdom of heaven. Now you may go, wait a minute, is that the kingdom of God? Yes, it is. But Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven because that's his background. That's how he understands it. And that's how he shares it, the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven can be understood in oh so many ways. But an understanding that I really affirm and that I would share with you, this is how I truly understand the kingdom of heaven, is that it is both a destination and a journey. Because it is not yet, and it is here right now. Let me explain. The kingdom of heaven is the ultimate destination for all of us who love God. Amen? It's the ultimate destination. And the kingdom of heaven will come in its fullness when Jesus comes again. I realize in 9 years here, I probably haven't preached enough about Jesus coming again. But that is something that will happen. Jesus will come again. And when Jesus comes again, then that wonderful reign of God will be known by everybody. And everybody will know of God's wholeness and life and love. That is the ultimate destination. That is the not yet. It's not quite here yet. And yet, the kingdom of heaven is right here because it is part of the journey that we are on with God in Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we encounter that kingdom of heaven anytime that we are witness to God's will being done on this earth, when we are witness to God's bringing wholeness to a situation, we're a witness to Jesus healing situations, we're a witness to the Holy Spirit bringing life to a situation. That is the kingdom of heaven. Fans and followers both want to experience the kingdom of heaven. Fans and followers both have done amazing things for Jesus in their life, right? In fact, our scripture laid that out. What was it? Got to make sure here, because I think that they laid out things that we normally don't do today. Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do a lot of miracles in your name? I think we kind of affirmed that miracle thing. Some of us may struggle with the other part, but I've seen those things happen too. Fans and followers both do that. But what Jesus is getting at, I believe, in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, is the question of why. Why do fans do what they do? And why do followers do what they do? And in order to understand that, I think we need to look at a couple of passages just right before what Shirley shared with us today. And so, I'm going to share this, and as I do, I want you to listen to what light is being shed on what we're talking about here. Think of fans and think of followers of Jesus. One is the story of the narrow gate. You all know that one, don't you? Even if you haven't been to church very much, you know that you've heard about the narrow gate. Jesus says, go in through the narrow gate. The gate that leads to destruction is broad and the road wide, so many people enter through it. But the gate that leads to life is narrow and the road difficult, so few people find it. Now, a fan could look at that passage and say, I don't want no difficult road. Some of us might find it hard to squeeze into that narrow gate. As I think about myself, it's like it would just be easier to rely on my own resources on that wide road and stay true in love with Jesus, but rely on myself, than to go on that narrow road and rely on Jesus. And then Jesus shares this. This is the second thing right before our teaching today. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they are vicious wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds, or do they get figs from thistles? Now, I think that requires some explanation because some of us, well, maybe it does. It doesn't. That's the point Jesus is wanting to make. What Jesus is sharing here, and then he says, in the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruit. So, fans still in love with Jesus, still doing things for Jesus, can sometimes be swayed by the words of false prophets and false teachers. And some of those false prophets and false teachers are fans of Jesus and aren't followers of Jesus at all. Jesus then comes to our scripture today that says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, very eschatological image here, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name, lots and lots? Jesus said, then I'll tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people who do wrong. I think that what we're looking at here is Jesus is looking at, where is your heart? when you are serving me. You can serve Jesus, but still be driven by your own agenda. You hear what I'm saying? Because the basic thing about a fan and their relationship with Jesus, it isn't quite to that point where you're really relying on Jesus, where you're really committed to Jesus. It's really at that point of, what can I get out of this relationship, right? It's why we get fans of sports teams and celebrities and stuff like that. We get a joy out of what's going on with their teams. We get invested in that. We don't follow them like disciples in that kind of way, but we are fans. Unless they do bad, unless they fall from grace, and then we kind of let go. But followers of Jesus are committed to Jesus. And I think that's what Jesus is really trying to share here, is where is your heart? And what Jesus is doing is he's addressing those of us who are fans with the hope that we become followers. I hope you've known, not only in today, but in all the teachings that we've shared, that Jesus doesn't shy away from controversy. Jesus doesn't shy away from difficult understandings of our faith. I also want you to know that Jesus loves you wherever you are. Some of you aren't a fan or a follower, and that is fine. I'm glad that you are listening and you're a part of our service today. Some of us are fans of Jesus. We just love Jesus so much, but, you know, we haven't encountered a tough trial in our life yet to know if we really love Jesus. And then some of us are followers of Jesus, that even in the tough times, we're able to hold on. Friends, it's not the things we do, right? And it's not the things that say that will allow us to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yesterday, I got on the media machine, and I got on because I needed to download a picture for our service yesterday. And as I got on there, I got on a web browser, and I got on Gmail, and behold, my HarrisonvilleUMC.pastor account had signed out. And I went, oh, what is the password? Has that happened to you? What is the password? So I went to God in prayer, and fortunately God jogged my memory, and I had a place on my phone where I keep a list. And I thought, well, maybe it's there, and yay! It was. And I signed in, and all was right with the world. I like what Pastor Joel Christensen says. He said, you know what? Doing all the best things and knowing the password is still not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. It's Jesus that opens the kingdom of heavens to it. And it's in that relationship with Jesus where we give Jesus our heart, where we can be a witness. The kingdom of heaven is all around us to be witness, but our eyes are shut to it because we're not in relationship with Jesus, or we've got things that are going on that just make it very tough, or our love of Jesus has cooled. But when we are in a deep relationship with Jesus as disciples, then it's amazing how we can behold the kingdom of heaven all around us. I pointed out the flowers in our sanctuary today, the altar and at the pulpit. So we celebrated the life of a wonderful woman who I believe with all my heart was a true follower of Jesus Christ. And I see some of your heads shaking like you agree with me. And, you know, it's not about the things that she did. I mean, she and Virgil, they led the Nomads classroom for 47 years. Isn't that something? One of the most, had the most diverse population of people, one of our larger classes, and it was an amazing class. Sharon took great care of her family and loved on them. Her daughter Betsy remembers how she would just be crawling out of bed and look out the window and see her mom with her hat on doing some of the chores on the farm. But the wonderful thing about Sharon, really when you knew that she was a follower of Jesus, was when she told you how much she loved Jesus. And she didn't always tell you, you know, just outright, oh, I love Jesus. No, it was when she asked you how you were doing. And she really cared. And she really wanted to find out the very best of what was going on in your life. And you know something else that she did besides her daily Bible study, 30 minutes before she did her chores, is that she also would reflect in the evening. I thought John Wesley would have been proud of Sharon Poizel, because she would journal and she would lift up miracles that she had seen. She had seen the kingdom of heaven around her, you see. And she would make note of that. And then all those conversations she had, she'd make note of that too. Some of you are going, oh, I didn't know if she'd make those notes on that. Friends, let me tell you, it was simply because she wanted to remember you to help focus her prayers. See, Sharon was such a follower of Jesus. Her followership, her discipleship, will still make an impact on our lives for days and weeks and months to come. That is integrity, and that is a legacy. And it's just so powerful when you can look at somebody and their life and their smile. And man, she had a great smile, didn't she? You could just look at somebody and say, here is where the kingdom has come near. Because who embodied the kingdom but Jesus? And when you can look at a person and see Jesus, then you know the kingdom has come near. Friends, I would ask that you would take a look at your relationship with Jesus wherever you are and embrace it. Again, some of you might not be in a relationship with Jesus, and that's okay. Jesus is there offering love and grace all the time. And you know, I'm praying that your heart will be moved to become a follower of Jesus. But it may be that you know, you'll become a fan. And being a fan of Jesus is exciting and awesome. But you know that when you're a fan of Jesus, that Jesus calls you to more, right? That old loves you where you are, but loves you too much for you to stay there. That's when Jesus is calling you, challenging you to be a disciple. And you know you are a disciple when the things you do and the things you say won't be because of anything in your will, but because you have discerned God's will. And you're not even thinking about it. You are just being and transforming this world in God's will. May it be so for all of us. May we live as disciples. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.